Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A journal is a journey, a place to gather thoughts and become the best version of you. Papier creates thoughtfully crafted notebooks, journals, and more. Their curated journals cover themes like wellness, goals, and gratitude. Best of all, you can personalize each product for free. Put pen to paper and start your journey today with Papier. Visit papier.com for 10% off your first order. That's 10% off at papier.com.
Trying to grab all the groceries in one trip? Oof, not how you would have done that. You know sometimes less is more. Like when you drive less and save with the USAA annual mileage discount. USAA, get a quote today.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit-chat. That sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well,
why are we having this conversation?
What the hell am I doing here?
Now, I think what I should do, I should start, because it's the first episode.
Yep.
Explain the concept.
Cool.
So, get to the good stuff with Jack Skipper. I listen to a lot of podcasts, right, and there's a lot of people are good at chit-chat.
Yes.
They're good at chit-chat. You know, like, hey, how you been? All that sort of stuff. I panic with that, and I don't know where I'm going with it.
Okay. Right?
So, you know, like when you get to a pub,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that initial beer, how was the journey?
Yeah.
Traffic's bad, isn't it? And that goes on. But, you know, like four pints deep.
Yes.
About 2 hours later, you're into the good stuff.
Right.
The vibes are going.
Okay.
Right? So I'm thinking, bypass all that and get straight into the good stuff.
Yep.
By asking juicy questions.
Right. Maybe we should have had 4 pints before this.
Well, that's what I'm thinking now. but this is the thing. This is episode one, so we're going to see how it goes. You know what I mean? So that's the next time we'll do that.
Okay, cool.
Right. I suppose that's the whole point of that, isn't it? Buttering people up. So.
Yeah, but no, look, I think we can do 4 pints easy.
Right.
Like we know each other well enough that it's, yeah. I'm good. I'm happy to get to the good stuff. We don't do any chit chat.
Right. So should we do it then?
Let's go for it.
Have you ever shit yourself?
Yes.
When?
Several times. I've got some bowel issues that I don't anymore, but there was a point where I had some bowel issues.
Right.
So I was shitting myself sort of, not like big shits, but I was shitting myself what I would call semi-regularly at one point. Just little bits of shitting myself. I've shit myself in a bar and had to put my pants in the bin. That was embarrassing.
Where did you put your pants in the bin?
Because I shit my pants.
And where? What bin?
In a bin in the toilet, in the bar.
You had to put your trousers back on?
Yeah, and just put my trousers back on, went commando. Which was high risk because I was thinking, what if I shit myself again? Because it's happened once. You know, that was an issue.
So did you stay at the bar?
Yeah, I stayed out.
That's dedication.
Yeah, of course, mate. It was like I was already battered. Like I wasn't going home.
So, sorry. You shit yourself.
Yeah.
But you thought, right, not I'm going to go home. You thought, how do I best deal with this?
Yeah, I took my boxers off.
Where was this bar? What bar? Was it a nice bar?
It was a nice bar in Soho, yeah. And the kind of bar where there were people, there was no one in the toilets like guarding to make sure you don't do drugs. You know, like there's always that man.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying things like no spray, no lay. Right. Basically, men's toilets in nightclubs and bars are the last place where misogyny is.
And I think when he said no spray, no lay, I think
he
needed to say that to you.
Yeah, absolutely. so I just popped them in the toilet, in the bin, and then carried on with my night.
That's amazing.
Commando in jeans, which is not a nice feeling, really, being commando in jeans, but it was a small price to pay.
I'm amazed at the dedication to the night.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, absolutely. I've done it a few times. The biggest one ever.
Do you know what? When I had this idea to have these questions, I thought they'd go, oh, maybe this is one time. I didn't.
No, I've got this, especially this first one, I've got a list. The one that really sticks out for me, the most traumatising, was when I was in sixth form and I shit myself in an English lesson. Because I was sat next to my friend Adam Rhodes, who was a very uptight man, and I thought, I'm going to fart and that's going to really annoy him. But I shit myself. And it was horrible because I shit myself. And then we were sat on a table in two, and there was probably like 15 other people in the class, and it was really quiet. And I had to like sort of come out to him as if kind of going, I've got something to tell you. Yeah. I've shit myself.
Why'd you tell him? Why?
Well, because I didn't know what to do. I was panicking. There was like 15 minutes left of the lesson. So I kind of went, I've shit myself. And he's like, what are you on about? I was like, I've shit myself. What do I do? And he's like, you just need to stay there. Right, we'll get to the end of the lesson, then we'll deal with it, right? Yeah. And what I did was stay there till the end of the lesson, and I stood up. And when I stood up, there was like a little sweat patch on the seat where the shit had been, like, the moisture of the poo had seeped through my trousers.
Oh, no.
So I sort of waddled to a nearby disabled toilet where I could sort myself out. And as I did it, basically, one of my friends who was there, we'd sort of told him on the way to the toilet, I was like, I'm going to shit myself. I was like, if you tell anyone, you're dead, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And rather than tell anyone, what they did is this toilet was on a main thoroughfare through the school. So anyone that we knew that walked past, they got them to gather outside the toilet. And then what they did is they kept knocking on the disabled toilet door going, what have you done, Matt? What have you done? And I went, I fucking shit myself, right? So I told everyone that I shit myself.
I think, how old did you know? How old did you?
18.
I think any bloke, you say, if you start a sentence with, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, they're going to fucking tell someone.
Right, well, as soon as
but
you
I
say
thought,
that.
I thought, like, I've got a juicy secret, so he's not going to be a dickhead about it. And then I basically just styled it out at school, so everyone was like, oh, you shit yourself. And I was like, yeah, and? And when you do that, people go, I don't know.
I call that the 8 Mile effect. Remember the thing about 8 Mile?
I've never seen 8 Mile.
8 Mile at the end, there's like a rap battle, right? Eminem goes first, and he says all the stuff bad about him first.
Before he can say it.
I think in comedy is actually, that works in comedy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You always get the first shot in on the audience.
So if you go, they try and say so. Yeah, I know, I just told you.
Yeah, and I'm from a small town. So for years, people were like, did you shit yourself? And even like, I was back home maybe 3 or 4 years ago and a girl came up to me and she went, excuse me, are you? And I was like, here we go. Getting bloody recognised. This is how it is. She's clearly seen, some terrible TV. Yeah. And she was like, are you the guy that shit himself in sixth form? And I was like, yes, I am. There we go. That's what I get recognised for in my hometown. So that's the big one. But then there's been plenty of sort of what I would call satellite moments of me shitting myself over the years.
We're just like, just indoor, just.
Yeah, in bed, like, you know.
In bed!
Like, you know, lying in bed, you have a fart and actually, you know, you've got the runs.
That's it. But I've only got one memorable time when I've...
Yep, please tell me. Make me feel better.
Do you know when... you like used to hang out as teenagers and you used to do... Do you ever used to pull an all-nighter? Pull an all-nighter?
No, I didn't. Not as a teenager.
Do you know what? Well, you go out... Phoebe, do you know what I'm talking about? With pulling...
Yeah.
So you're out and about, right? And then you go, right, should we just stay out and I'll tell my mum I'm staying at yours. And you just hang out in...
See, like, other teenagers did that. I very much didn't. I didn't really come into my own until my early to mid 20s.
Well, to be honest, you weren't missing much. It worked because you commit to staying out, and then you're about like a stone's throw from your house, where you think I could just go home now.
And also, I imagine you get to a point where you're just like, right, we've been out for 3 hours. I would quite like to go home. Yeah, now, but we've committed.
This is exactly what it was. But anyway, we was out and about, and I was like, right, I called on the all nighter. I was like, let's do the all nighter, and I convinced everyone. Yeah, all right, we'll do the all nighter. And then I farted, followed through.
how quickly after you went, let's do an all-nighter?
Less than a minute. I was like, right, let's go, in my white tracksuit. And then I was like, right. And then I followed through. I thought, I might actually call it a night, you know? I think I'm going to leave it.
What I like there is your body basically went, you're fucking not doing that, mate. Not a chance are you going out all night. It's like your mum had a button to your bow.
Yeah, but I think you... That's the big poor guy you are. You'd have been committed. You think, no.
I'd have done it, yeah.
I'd shit myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm staying out.
This is everyone else's problem, not mine. I don't mind the smell.
Both of you need to learn to stop trusting your farts, really.
I think that's it.
Very good. I mean, that is a legitimate point. Yeah. Basically, stop farting. Hold them in. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, I think that's what we've got to do. But, you know, what is life without risk? You know?
Go to a casino, mate. For God's sake.
I'm a gambler, you know? Right. Have you?
Yes.
I reckon the answer might be no to this already.
Go on then.
Have you ever been in a fight?
No, not really. I was in a scuffle once at school, but it wasn't a proper fight.
What? Help me explain.
What was his name? Nick something that I went to school with. He smelt bad, and I made a joke about
it. He didn't shit himself?
No, he didn't shit himself. But he smelt bad all the time.
Right.
And he sort of just like pulled me onto the floor by my bag and kicked my bag a bit, and then went on MySpace and was like, I've kicked the shit out of Matt Richardson today. And everyone
kicked your bag. I kicked your bag a bit.
He didn't kick any of me. And then he told everyone that he'd put me into hospital. And then I came to school at the next day and everyone's like, mate, are you all right? And I was like, I don't know what any of you are talking about.
You should see his bag.
Yeah. I mean, and it was a really nice Quicksilver one.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to kick me up the arse, but I used to have my bag so low back then. So that's it, really. I've never been in a fight.
I've had a fight over a bag once. Do you remember? There's a brand, you know, like Quicksilver, but there was another brand of bag called, it was like the brand was called Head.
Yes, yeah.
And they used to have one of these ones that was like one strap.
Yes, a messenger bag.
But the strap was Velcro. And so someone
so people
went,
used to always
yeah,
go...
Yeah, someone used to go boom, like that. And then, yeah, I got in a fight because of that. But don't you think, like, being at school was just like... hard. How could you not get in a fight? Fights all the time. There was always... Do you remember peanutting people?
Yeah, peanutting was annoying.
Peanutting, or did someone just come and punch you in the back? Or just
no, and once again, I think we had very different school experiences.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in my hometown, Didcot. St. Brianus, my school was called. It was a boys' school.
It's a nice sort of area.
Yeah, it's all right. And like, Didcot's not great, but it was quite a nice school. And also, everyone was a bit more chill because there were no girls. Right. So it was a state school, but it was a boys' school. And in my hometown, there's a boys' school and a girls' school. So because there was no girls to sort of peacock in front of...
Maybe that's what it is.
It made everyone a little bit more mellow. And then we mixed at sixth form.
I wonder if there are any stats on that.
I bet it is a thing because, like, you know, young, horny boys trying to impress girls is probably the cause of a lot of violence.
Yeah.
Or boys who can't impress girls do it because they're angry about it but don't know why.
Yeah, that's, I think that is it.
Yeah. So I think it was... But also, once again, I was academic and all that. So, and also, I was quite funny, so I never got in trouble with it. All the cool kids quite liked me.
Yeah.
I wasn't their friend, but like I was all right because I made them laugh.
Because in mine, there was cool kids. Mm. Well, there was cool kids who were like sort of like the tracksuit guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they were sort of like walking around. I think it was like Roo Boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like the sort of geekier bunch were like grungers.
Yeah, they were.
Grungers.
So I was sort of... In school, before pre-sixth form, I was probably sort of slightly more into that group. I was friends with a lot of the skating guys
and things like that.
So, I wasn't really involved. And all my friends and I, we sort of were quite detached from it all. So.
There was quite a school back in the day. It was quite segregated like that, wasn't it? Because you had like the grungers.
Yeah. People might disagree with you until everyone thought I was a prick. I just don't know. But I felt like I got on mostly with everyone.
Would you like a baggy jeans skateboard?
Yeah, for a while. And then I was an emo. I was definitely, we used to wear like spray on skinny jeans.
Makeup?
I didn't wear makeup, but I had like the big floppy fringe and sort of, you know, all that and listened to Taking Back Sunday.
I'll tell you, that was
My Chemical Romance.
I was thinking this the other day. A really bad time for men's fashion was about 2000s, mid-2000s, right?
Yeah.
And then you remember like the Kooks and things like that?
I do remember the Kooks.
And everyone, those men in ladies' jeans.
Yeah.
And then like them, you remember like All Saints boots?
Yep.
And then it was like a waistcoat.
Yep, the waistcoats. So
V-neck.
I was big into, if it was like a night out with friends, like if we were like a sixth form party, I was big into a waistcoat with a V-neck. I'm not going to lie.
Rosary beads?
No, luckily never. I never went that far. I always thought that was like a dickhead thing. But yeah, I did like a...
In your waistcoat and your V-neck. Dickhead.
Yeah, dickhead there with his rosary on. Yes, but very much so. And I went for a real phase. I used to wear a lot of like wooden bracelets.
I remember
and
that.
Stuff.
I had that.
I had that for a while.
I think I was one of the people who like always attempted to do the thing, always got it a bit wrong. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
I know
like,
what you,
like
mean.
You look at them guy, because there was a bit where like, blokes used to have this hair, it was like a bit like McFly hair.
Yes.
And it was like a bit of a fringe and a bit sticking up and then like maybe like
yeah,
blonde.
Yeah,
tips,
little
tips,
dyed tips.
And it just, but I tried to do it just like on me. They obviously got it styled like that. I just went, got a short back and sides and then just tried to do it.
No, I had a proper like long straightened barnet when Ooh. I for about 2.5 years in my sort of sixth form prime when I was at college.
And after, but I think there was before the skinny jeans, there was just a thing, was like bad jeans. Do you remember jeans? Right? Do you remember standing on the back of your jeans?
Yeah. Do you remember the skate shoes, the skateboarding shoes as well, the big like puffy skateboarding
ones.
Shoes, like Etnies and DC.
DC, I never got into that.
So, I had all them.
So you were a grunger then?
Yeah, I had all that stuff.
You fucking grunger.
Yeah. You say that?
Kick your bag.
Yeah, while they're kicking my bag. So yeah, it was. I was not, but I wasn't kind of like cool. I was sort of But I got on, like, because I was at a smart mouth.
Yeah.
It's a wonder I didn't get beaten up, actually, because I did have a smart mouth.
So did you go uni for that?
Yeah, but only for a year and a half, then I dropped out.
Did you move to London because of comedy and stuff?
Yeah, I didn't move to London until I was 23.
Would you call yourself like a sort of late developer then?
Not amazingly late, but like I just wasn't really bothered about going and getting drunk and things like that particularly. Like me and all my friends sort of did our own thing. But when we were all, you know, and I'm still friends with the same group of friends. My best friends are still my best friends from school.
Because you got on telly quite early though, didn't you?
Yeah, I was on telly at 22. I started doing
TV. That's young, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when I started drinking. Because before then, I started comedy at 18. So I turned 18 and 6 months later I was doing stand-up. So I started driving to gigs 5 nights a week, which is why I wasn't a big drinker. So I didn't start drinking until I started doing telly and I wasn't gigging as much.
What was the first telly gig?
Extra Factor.
That was the first ever one?
First ever one I did, yeah. I'd maybe done like a talking head show, but nothing proper.
That's good, though, isn't it?
That was my... Yeah, they saw me in Edinburgh and asked me to do it.
Well, they just asked you straight away? You know, like,
well, I had to go and do like an audition and stuff. Like it was between me and Nick Grimshaw and a few other people like that, yeah. But I was always like working and basically I was doing stand up from 20 full time. So
do you have fond memories of?
Yeah, man, I've had it was great, it was brilliant.
How long did you do it for?
6 months. You filmed it for, so it was, we started in the June and we finished in the December.
Did
I only
did
a
series?
Year.
Yeah,
oh,
you
did,
I
did a year, mate.
I remember you on it though.
That is my gift to the world. I can only ever do one series of anything.
So who was on your year? Who was
the winners? It wasn't a classic year. I'm not gonna lie. Sam Bailey won. The prison officer?
Yeah, she won it.
Who else was on it? No one got famous really from my year.
Wagner?
No, he was way before my time. Yeah, yeah. I have met Wagner though. Don't want to brag.
I've seen Wagner.
Yeah,
I saw him outside. But I was with my dad, right, and it was outside Buckingham Palace, and everyone was going, "Where's the Queen? Where's the Queen?" And he's like, "There's Wagner."
Great.
that's all we cared about.
Mate, I mean, look, I'm sure Wagner's on Cameo for like £4 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but yeah, I mean, I've met all those, what you'd call the novelty acts of X Factor. I've met them all, yes, over the years.
Or Simon Cowlark?
I never met him.
You never met
after
him?
I did it. No,
that's what he's like then.
It was a Gary Barlow year when I did it. It was a Cal Fallow year.
Right.
So I didn't meet him until after I'd done the show. He hired me, but remotely from LA. Like he like had to watch the videos and stuff, but then I didn't meet him till afterwards. I went up to him drunk at the Pride of Britain Awards and asked him for my P45, and he was like, "Sorry, who are you?" I was like, "Matt Richardson."
Right.
I did meet him before that. Actually, that's a lie. I met him at the launch. That was when I met him.
So it was Barlow.
Barlow, Scherzinger.
Scherzinger. What's he like? I want
lovely. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
Very
Because
nice.
She used to do that thing, right? I did find it annoying when her act's on stage or the act's there, she'd stand up.
It's very American.
All right, let the act have it. You know what I mean? It was that sort of...
She's very American, very LA.
Yeah,
but she was nice. Osborne, Sharon Osborne, who was my favourite because she was mad.
Yeah.
And then Louis Walsh, who I also really liked.
Yeah, what's he like?
Really good fun.
Is he actually with it? Is that a bit of an act?
Oh my God, yeah. No, he totally knows what's going on. He's sharp as a tack.
Because he's the one who kept calling... What, he kept calling Wagner... He kept calling his name wrong, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, no, because that was it. No, that was it, because his name was Wagner.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Wagner.
Yeah, but he does that on, like, that's all. Like, he's a very clever man and very nice. Right. Like, I used to go out with him once a week for dinner after the show because I was staying in London because I didn't live in London at the time. And they'd be like, "Oh, we're going out into central London for dinner. Do you want to come?" And I'd always be like, "Obviously, I'm coming with you and Sharon Osbourne for dinner. Like, I'm not an idiot."
That's mad. 22. Was you a bit like...
I didn't really think about it at the time. I was like,
when you're
young,
it is a bit like that when you're young, isn't it?
Yeah, I was still living with my mum and dad.
That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. So I used to I'd come back from judges' houses and go to my mum and dad's house and where I lived. I was living
experience.
A dual life.
Did you feel like there was like a big change? Did you become an adult then? Was that like
no,
a thing?
I don't think I don't think about becoming an adult, but like it made me go, because I was just doing, but I was in the comedy clubs working with adults anyway. Right, like I was always the youngest person on the bill.
Yeah.
So now it was just like I was the youngest person in the room doing television. It was a real learning curve, but it was it sort of led to everything that's happened since, really.
Because I think when I think about when I was like early 20s and that, it just seems like it feels like detached from who I am now. Just feels like a bit of a blur. Like, you know, like when you watch like Love Island or whatever, and there's this bloke there who's like huge muscles, handsome guy, and he'll go, "Yeah, I'm 21. You're like, "Fucking hell."
Yeah, I didn't look like I was still very much young.
But it's that head, the head, I don't know if it's just what today is like, because I talked to my missus about it.
Youngsters are older than they were, I think.
I think that's it, because
of
YouTube, and they just
know. I don't know, really.
Her theory is that they know how to.
Like, the Love Island lot, that's steroids.
Well, steroids,
a big thing with them, why they look like 45-year-old men.
But I think more, like, my wife was saying, like, she didn't know how to do makeup. Like, as in, you just used to slap loads of crap on, like,
yeah,
and then just see.
No, they all know now.
Now they all know how to do it. Like,
they're much savvier.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Which is sad. I find it really upsetting. I went and watched my little girl's assembly this morning.
Yeah. Right. What was the assembly?
Well, this was brilliant actually, because I knew she was going to sing something,
yeah,
and I thought, oh, what's it going to be? It's going to be like Wind the Bobbin Up or something like that. You know, like,
what was it? S&M by Rihanna.
It was Flowers by Sweet Female Attitude. Garage banger. I was like, oh, hey.
It's my daughter's been like that, racking up at the back of the hall.
Insane. Yeah, can I get on the mic? But no, it was...
Did she smash it?
She smashed it, mate. And that's the thing as well.
Is that a song she's heard because of you?
No, but it was like the whole class was doing it. The whole class was doing it.
You know why that is, don't you? That's because teachers are our age.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is it. It all changed. But it wasn't like the proper garage version. It was like a nice acoustic version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right?
But this thing, because I was like, I got there late and I sort of stood by the door so everyone could sort of see me. And I'm quite an emotional guy, right? So I was like, I was watching my little girl singing, you know, that little innocent face singing. That was making me go. Right?
Did you cry?
I was getting emotional. And then a song that reminded me of my youth, it was like overwhelming. I was like standing by the door going,
you had a little cry today. Well, that's really sweet.
But I had to sort of like try and, like, I couldn't look too much because I kept thinking about it too much. So I had to sort of look away. But this was, anyway, going back to it, I think the reason I find kids it's really emotional is because they don't know anything.
I'd love to be like that.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
How hard stuff gets. They don't have to overthink anything yet. It's just like...
You know, I would love to be 16 again.
Oh, mate. I was saying it to my brother yesterday. Like, I remember like walking home from school and all is in my head was like, I'm going to have some crisps. That's all I was thinking about. I'm going to go home, watch Neighbours and have some crisps. And that was all that was good. You did have no idea of like any, no anxious thoughts, no worrying, no everything. Everything was just like, and then it just goes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As you get older. Sorry, and then brought the mood down.
And then you can't sleep. You know, you can't sleep properly because you're worrying about everything in your life.
Exactly.
And you've got two children to keep alive as well. That's a whole other stress that I don't have.
Right. Yeah. One day.
I don't know.
Don't you want to be the one crying at assemblies?
Like, I mean, no, mate, not really. No, I can't ever see myself at an assembly.
You're so cold, man.
I just like it might change. Like, I'm not saying that it's a no never, but like it might. It might change.
I do quite like that.
If my girlfriend turned around to me and went, should we have children now? I'd be like, you might need to go and find someone else to be with because I'm not in that headspace yet. Yeah, I'm not ready for it. But she isn't either, so it doesn't really matter.
It's good that you know that, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's good to do that because then you do have some people who just have them because they think that's just protocol.
We really like going on holiday and not having a holiday ruined by our children.
Yeah.
Like, so... And for us at the moment, the holiday's more important than the kids.
Yeah, it's hard.
And if you don't have kids, you can squeeze another one in because you're not paying for four people.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's things like that, I mean, are why.
It's too late to take mine back now, though. So
yeah, man, it is. Sorry, you fucked it.
Didn't keep the receipt. No, it does get a bit easier, though. Like now, when they're little, there's that thing where they got to, like, you need to wipe their ass, make their breakfast, do all that. But like now they're 6 and 7, they just get up and...
Do their own thing.
Themselves out, you know, start earning their own.
Yeah, breakfast. Then they become tricky again when they're teenagers.
But they ain't got to deal with them, have you? They just...
I think you do. I think
they walk out.
I think you fundamentally do. That's when teenagers go off the rails. Like, you know, if you're just like off your pop, that's when the problems start. Yeah. But yeah, I it just doesn't bother me at the moment. I've got a cat. That's enough.
That's the way I suppose.
And a cat's like having a teenager. It sort of doesn't really care about you. Just wants to be fed and it pisses off for most of the day.
Oh, that is
it. Comes back in whenever it wants.
You sold me.
There you go. Just teenagers might be easier for you then.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you? Because it's a bit big, isn't it? It's a bit of a big question.
Yeah, you know what? That's really tricky because I've had a lot of...
I'll tell you what I think I can get it to, right?
Go on.
So you know, like, are you the sort of thing you like where you a little thing will happen, it will play in your mind all day? Like.
Yeah. So I once went on a date with a girl I knew when I was younger, Jess Chong. We were friends actually, and we went on this date, and I thought it had gone really well, and I was like, oh, we should do this again, and she was like, oh, maybe, yeah, and I went, so when are you free? And she went, oh, I'm just busy. And I went, forever? And she went, yeah, forever. Ooh. And that still, at 30, is what I go to sleep, and it pops up in my mind sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that was face-to-face, was it?
Face-to-face, yeah.
See, that's the sort of...
Because
people, I think, when you ask that question, people think, oh, yeah, there was this time where I fell over in front of them. I could handle that. Falling over in front of a load of people, or like,
but and I really liked her as well at the time, and it was just that, and it's still on my mind. Plays that I was just like, how did I not see that it clearly wasn't going very well, and I thought it was going fine.
When does that thought usually come into your head?
Oh, about 10 minutes after I've gotten into bed and I'm just falling asleep. Yeah. Just then.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, horrible. They're the worst. It's what are they called? Yeah, faux pas, is it?
A faux pas. Yeah, that's a faux pas.
So them awkward situations where you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just even like, I don't know, just like the banging on one, or just that thing where you feel like you're talking too much.
All the time.
And as you're doing it, you're going, I can't shut up.
I can't stop.
And then they're looking at you going, I want to get away from this.
Yeah, any time where you meet someone, and like, I like to think that I get on with people all right when I meet them.
Yeah.
But you know when you meet someone and they clearly just aren't into you at all as a person, and I can't go, well, that person clearly doesn't like me. Yeah. That's fine. I try harder and harder and harder. I've got a lot of those where, like, I've met someone for the first time, they're not that bothered about talking to me, and I just can't let it go because I need them to like me, which all that serves to do is make them like me even less. Oh. And like that, I'm just like, just shut the fuck up and walk away.
It's horrible. How much I relate to that.
Yeah, man, it's awful. So I've got a lot of those. I'm sort of, because I'm so eager to please, that's really off-putting for people.
It is, isn't it?
Which is understandable.
Because you can fake it, though. You can pretend you're sort of quite cool about things.
No, I really struggle with that. I'm very much like...
I'm trying to think of things like, because that's the thing. I try and think of, like, the answers to these questions myself. I thought, what? And there's like big ones, but it is just them little things that just
little moments in your life. Yeah. I remember. I'll tell you what. Something that plays on my mind. There was when I was in. This is how long ago it was. I was in primary school. I was about 9 or 10, and there was a girl I fancied in the class who. I went to put my arm around my friend Rachel, and it was the girl I fancied. I didn't realise because they had the same haircut from behind. Okay. So I put my arm and I was like, and everyone knew I fancied her. So it was all really weird. And but even now, I'm a 30-year-old man with a mortgage and something that happened to me when I was 9 still haunts me.
Yeah. I think it sort of determines the sort of person.
Yeah.
That you're like.
And I still now go, when I think about something, I did it 9 years old.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
I get it, though. It's like you know, like the classic, like you were saying there about the date. But you know the leaning in, and then they go no.
Yeah, I've had a couple of them.
You just sort of have to. that's horrible. So then you go. I went through phases of just not having anything to do with any girls.
Yeah,
I couldn't handle doing that,
and then pulling away. I didn't for many years. I was like, went through
would
years.
You, would you much of a like a you know, dating? Are you an approach a girl kind of?
So I got my, when we were like proper teenagers, not really, but I had a girlfriend from 16 to 19.
Right, I was similar to that. Yeah.
And then the same girl, and then she went to university and broke up with me and broke my heart, and I'm over it. I'm totally over it. And then I was single for a while. I was sort of single for the next... Oh, no, then I had a girlfriend for a year. And I broke up with her just when I was, like, just turning 22. Turned 22.
Hit the big time.
Literally,
like,
it was
look
just
at this now.
About a month before I got that job, we broke up. And then I started to sort of, like, see girls and stuff. Because I was coming to London all the time, my friends had all just graduated and gotten jobs. So I was, like, meeting their friends and things
like that.
And was you
that guy on the telly as well?
Yes, that did. I'm not going to lie, that didn't hurt. I think I'm a 6, but being on TV made me an 8 for a while.
Right.
Not to everyone, but to certain people. So, yeah, that was, I did.
You're more than a 6, mate.
That's very kind. Thank you. Like but yeah, so then I sort of dated a bit and stuff. And then I went out with someone for just under a year, which was awful. And then I met Sam. And I've been together. So, we've been together since I was 23. So I've been with her like 24 when I met her. So yeah, so I kind of had a couple of years of like dating and stuff, but not it was never my bag.
But was you like you know, the approach kind of guy, or would you wait to be?
I don't, a bit of both, really. It depends.
Did you ever do the apps?
Yeah, I did a bit of Tinder. I went on a few Tinder dates when Tinder first came round.
Because I think it got big in like 2012.
Yeah.
When I met my missus.
I was on Tinder for a while until I did an interview with Heat magazine and they went, well, we've got a report that you're on Tinder. Why? And I was like, because I'm lonely. And they were like, okay, that's a bit too real.
What is the deal with being famous and on Tinder? There's nothing, is that,
you can get, nowadays, you can be verified on Tinder.
Can you?
Yes.
Wow, that must help.
But I went on a few Tinder dates, but they were all a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
I went on one in America and I went on one here and they were all a bit like... Bleh.
Well, to be honest, I've never...
A girl gave me a hickey and I was like, we're adults, what are you doing?
In America?
No, in Britain.
But would you just let her do it?
We were both quite drunk and like by the time I'd worked it out, it was too late. And like, yeah. And I was like, I'm filming tomorrow and I've got this massive hickey on my neck. So there's one episode of Big Brother's Bit on the Side where I wear a turtleneck for no particular reason in the height of summer.
Oh, God, that's a childish...
Just sat there, they come to my opinion, yeah. I'm like, well, let's not talk about... Let's talk about philosophy.
Yeah, with your love bite.
Yeah, with my massive love bite covered up.
But I think I was never really the approach kind of guy.
No, not particularly.
I had mates who were really good at it as well.
Yeah.
And they go and do the whole like...
See, but I wasn't good because like when I went to uni, I lived at home, so I didn't really go out on nights out and stuff. And then it wasn't until I started working in TV that I was a stand-up for my job, so I didn't work with anyone else. It was just me. Yeah. And it was at a point where there weren't any comedians who were female, let alone ones that were my age. So it wasn't until I got into TV that all of a sudden, like all the runners, we were all the same age as each other. So all of a sudden I was exposed to all these people and that's when I started to date a bit.
It was easy.
Well, it wasn't because there's like, you know, the ethics of all that working together and being let's sleep together and then I'm going to be weird at work and be like, yeah, but can I just have a coffee, please?
Did you transition easily into the whole celebrity thing?
Oh, yeah, mate, I was born for it. I mean, and also you've got to remember the level of celebrity I'm at is negligible. So it was quite easy to... It's not like I went into overnight movie star sensation. Like I went into...
Yeah, but when you're like on like X Factor.
Yeah, like all of a sudden like doing interviews and all that. It was a bit weird. Like the first couple of months, the thing I struggled with was Twitter was big and I was getting like 1,500 tweets a day, half of which were people being like, why don't you go and fucking kill yourself?
Oh, mate, I'm only just starting to get into that.
Yeah, man, it's bad. And so that was weird. And I used to really struggle with that. But otherwise, it was fine. But once again, I was 22. I didn't really know. I was just like, yeah, this is normal.
At that age, though, dealing with that, the troll. Before it was even highlighted back then, even, wasn't it? It was
just now it doesn't bother me anymore. But about 9 years ago, it did.
It's mental, isn't it? Because I have to deal with it, obviously, because of TikTok and Instagram stuff and that. But like... I've had to like filter out certain words.
Yeah, man.
So I don't see it. But then some of them still manage to get through. I mean, if they misspell
but
word wank.
I've just learned that people get in touch being like, oh, you're not funny. And you're like, well, I mean, my accountant would disagree.
Yeah.
And, I've bought a house with it. So I am. Your opinion doesn't really matter to me.
I like the way they try and get you for anything. Like, I have another day.
The thing is, I used to reply to people. And as soon as you reply, you've lost.
Yeah, no, that's it. This is it.
As soon as you reply to them, you've engaged with them.
Someone
you've lost the battle.
Someone that's me and I replied. I thought, I'm fucking, fuck you. I thought I'm going to come up with a good comeback here. And then he just sent back an emoji of a fish being caught.
Yeah, exactly. You've lost, mate.
Your reply,
what was it once? I replied to someone, they replied back going, lol, reading your own tweets, embarrassing. I'm like, what do you mean? How is that bad? Yeah. You've tweeted me. But like, they can just get you because you've looked.
Yeah. And something like, I had one the other day, shame you can't grow a full beard.
That's quite funny.
Neither
can I, though.
But the fucker, though, he got me on one of my hang-ups. he knew.
I had that recently, but it wasn't a tweet. It was, I was in the Trafford Centre in Manchester, sort of killing some time between gigs and in the day when I was in Manchester for a few days. And I went to this, you know, the bits in the middle where there's like beauty counters?
Yeah.
And they had like this little spa thing set up and they were doing like free samples and stuff. And they were like, oh, do you want to try this? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm game. And I bought like this hand scrub because I get quite dry hands and that was fine. And then she went, because you bought something, you get a free beauty consultation. Would you like one? Like, you know, we'll do like your face and, you know, work out. And as I sat down, the woman went, we should do something about his dark under eyes, shouldn't we? To her colleague. And I went, whatever they're going to say now, I'm going to fucking buy.
Because that's
a hang up I've got.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got dark eyes. And I was just like,
clever sales.
Yeah, she did. And I was like, yeah, what is it? And it was a machine. It was absolute bullshit. Yeah. But bought it because it's horrible. Yeah,
that's it. And for these trolls, do you ever get weird lookalikes?
Tweet me going, my friend blah blah looks like you.
Oh, but not a celebrity.
There aren't any. I mean, people think I look like Will from The Inbetweeners. I used to wear glasses as well.
Right, okay.
The briefcase
wanker. I get the weirdest ones and I think, how have you got? Richard Hammond.
I mean,
no, I don't look like Richard Hammond. Do
no,
I?
You.
But, I look like Richard Hammond.
Look, you don't look like Richard Hammond, but you don't look like Richard Hammond.
For fuck's sake. Oh man, I was like, ah, they're mental. I'll say this to Matt, and he'll reassure.
Like
Richard Hammond,
I can see where it's the little goatee thing you got going.
Fuck's
on.
Fuck's sake! Well, that's two of my hang-ups straight away. Cheers for that, man.
Yeah, sorry.
What else did I get? Oh, this is a weird one. I've had this like a few times, and this is weird. You remind me of Stacey Solomon. Me.
It's because you've got an accent that's sort of it? Like a bit, but you're not like Stacey Solomon at all.
But that's it. But I think this is what people do, right? This is what people do when they comment. Obviously, I do comedy on there, right? So people, what they'll do is they'll compare you to the nearest thing they know to what comedy is.
And that's Stacey Solomon.
Well, apart from that. But they'll list every comedian that has ever been. I've had every single one. Because people want to go. But people don't do this thing. This is the troll thing I think they want to do. If you're doing well at something or, you know, they want to...
Just take you down a peg.
Yeah, knock it down. You're just copying this, or you're just doing that.
It's fine, mate. Best advice I ever got was when I first started doing TV and stuff. Lee Francis, Keith Lemon, said to me, I was having a real problem with like trolls, and it was really bothering me. Yeah. And he said, the thing is, you could go and do their job for a day, but they couldn't do yours. Like they're all like, oh, you're not funny, and you're like, yeah, but like you couldn't even begin to try and do it. So why don't you fuck off?
Yeah. I think I am getting better at the beginning, and I'm getting right at the beginning. I used to like proper read everything, and then like get. And is it this not? It's not a good place to be, is it?
No, it doesn't. Like now, I don't even look at anything. I couldn't care less.
I try not to.
But
what's funny if you look at my list of filtered words? Wanker, prick,
Stacey,
beard,
top, gear,
yeah. Hammond spelt wrong, because you'll get that as well. You think, yeah. I'm filtering Richard Hammond, and then someone put one M.
Yeah, oh, what a nightmare.
I haven't filtered Richard Hammond. I'm not that bothered.
I would if I were you. Just FYI,
Matt. Do you ever get a fitter Arj from The Only Way Is
Me?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I'm just asking. Have you ever?
No, I've never had that. Why? Someone said that.
Well, me just now. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. But you put fit in there.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Did you cover yourself there thinking, I can't just say Arj?
I've got to give him something to work with.
A very, very sexy
No, I tell you what I get all the time is people think I'm Matt Edmondson on Radio 1. But people come up to me in the street and they're like, oh, I listen to you on Radio 1. And I go, it's not me. And they're like, but you sound the same.
We sound very similar.
And he did Extra Factor. We did loads of the same things. So people think we're the same. But he doesn't drink and rides a razor scooter everywhere. So I'd like to think we're not the same.
Do you still get, can I have a photo of you type stuff?
Yeah.
Have you ever done it? I'll think about this, where you've done it and thought, oh, I weren't in the mood.
I've said
there.
No like, once.
Have you really?
Yeah. So a woman came up to me I haven't talked about X Factor days for years, but back in the X Factor days, it was the final of X Factor and we were doing it at Wembley Arena and we were staying in the hotel next door. And I was walking through the lobby and a woman went, excuse me, can I have a photo with you? Yeah. And I went, yeah, of course you can. And I was with my mum and dad and my younger brother, right? They'd all come up for the final. And I went to have a photo with you and she went, I do have to say though, I much preferred Ollie Murs to you. And I went, well, that's fair enough, but I'm not going to have a photo with you. I hope you have a nice evening. Because you didn't really need to say that. And then I went off to the bar with my mum and dad. Yeah. And about 2 hours later, this woman came up to me and she says to my mum, she goes, is that your son? You should be ashamed of him because of this. And she said, and I said, look, the thing is, I don't have to listen to you saying not very nice things to me.
Yeah.
Like, and she went, yes, you do. I pay my license fee. Therefore, you have to listen to what I've got to say. And I went, well, two things there.
Yeah.
Even if that was the case, no need to be rude. And two, I'm on ITV.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the fucking license fee, you moron. And we started to have this argument. And I went, right, let's do an example back to you. I was like, what do you do for a living? And she went, I'm a blood nurse. And I went, well, I prefer real nurses. And she went, you can't say that to me. And I went, well, I pay my taxes, so actually I can. And she didn't like it. But if I've had it before where people have come up and they've gone, apparently you're famous, but I've never heard of you, but can I have a phone? Yeah, and I'm like, well, there's no point, is there, mate?
No, because what that is, they've done a thing where they're impressed, but they don't want to let on how impressed. I get.
My mate recognised you, but I didn't.
I get a comment going, on like a sketch, it'll be like, this is funny. All the rest of them are shit.
Yeah.
But they can't
what's just
happened?
Say
they watched it, laughed, and gone, fuck, I didn't want to laugh. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to big him up too much. So let's.
Yeah, man. It's...
Not, I don't read the comments.
Yeah, but that happens. That's an English thing, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember once being in America, I was in. Such a showbiz lush. I was in LA filming a show, and for ITVB, it wasn't that exciting. And I was in an Uber, and the guy was like, "Oh, what are you doing over in LA?" Yeah. Like this American guy, and I was like, "Oh, I'm just sort of filming this like shit documentary about dogs, right? The millionaire dogs." Yeah. And he was like, "Hey, buddy." He goes, you had a dream and you're here. You achieved it. You should be proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. And like, he just like really bigged me up. Oh, and I was driver. Like, yeah, the cab driver. And I was like, this is weirder than people being dickheads, actually.
Yeah.
I'd rather a British person go, sounds shit, mate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that is the thing about British humor is the taking the piss.
Yeah, man. It's the same as like, there's nothing better than seeing an audience watch a famous person die on stage because they are loving it.
Yeah,
like, I've done gigs where like really big names have come to try out material and it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
And you can see they're like, I cannot wait to tell everyone I saw blah, blah, absolutely hoop it.
Yeah.
Rather than in America, they'd be like, oh no, we wanted to see you do well.
Because I do a bit of stand-up, go and do nice things now.
Yeah.
But I still go to work in a van every day with a load of geezers, right?
They won't let you forget it.
Mate, whatever, no matter what I go and do, what I cheat, anything nice happens, they'll always have to knock it back down.
Yeah.
They've got to go, they've got to make me feel, it's just natural. But then I think, I quite like it.
Yeah, it's good, it's healthy.
It keeps you sort of like, you know, because I went to like a couple of weekends ago. I went to Wayne Lineker's birthday party, and I was in the VIP of Ocean Beach, giving it all that. The next day, I was lifting up someone's shitty old carpet from around the toilet.
Hey, it's good.
So it's like a proper. I'm still on that level where it's.
Mate, I mean, like, you know, I've done jobs before. I've been away. I've flown in. Yeah. Kind of came back from Australia once. I've been over there filming, and I came in like business class and all that. And my mum picked me up from the airport to go home where I lived with her. And like that's sort of a real.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, how was?" And I'm like, "Oh, did you watch it?" She goes, "Yeah, I didn't care for you on it actually." I'm like, "Okay, mum."
That's what you need, though. You need it. You need to keep.
Yeah, my granddad once said to me, he was like, "Oh, he was a big gruff Welsh guy, right?" Yeah. And he went, "I saw you on telly the other day." And I went, "What do you think?" He went, "If you weren't my grandson, I'd want to hit you in the face." Cool.
That's
lovely.
What you need. That's
great.
What you need. And it does make you a more well-rounded person.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Because you meet these tosspots who've never had.
See, most comics are nice because they always still die at gigs.
Yeah.
That's why. It's like actors and things that get a bit weird.
That's it. But I think we need to wrap this up. This has been good. First episode done.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's always a pleasure.
It's been all right, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been good.
Follow Matt on
Instagram, or I do TikToks as well.
TikTok.
Because I'm 19. TikTok. And I'm very young.
Don't take the piss out of TikTok, mate.
No, I know, mate. Sorry, I get a lot of, you know, the thing is, it's children and then people like you. And I also get loads of clips of Hyacinth Bouquet and things like that,
oh, really?
Like old sitcom clips. So there's obviously some old people on there.
Yeah, definitely. They're getting more there now. So
yeah, but at Matt Richardson 3, follow me.
Follow Matt. Right, let's wrap it up.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.